This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In. I am Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian, nutritionist, certified in the state of New York. I have patients and clients all over the country. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, call our office. Speak to Grimaldi at 212-779-1744. 212-779-1744. For those of you with any topics of interest that you'd like me to weigh in on, or if you have a health question or concern, again, we can't do consults on these podcasts, so it has to be a very general question and not a full detailed dissertation of your health history in your labs. That would be a consult, and if you'd like to have a consult, call the office. For your questions, concerns, general questions, other comments at all regarding the Intelligent Medicine podcast, please email to radioprogram@aol.com. That's radioprogram@aol.com. So, I get in my mailbox, I get the journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and I will flip through. You know, I'm always looking for fodder. I'm looking at this journal. I'm looking at AJCN, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. I'm looking at the Journal of Nutrition. I'm looking American College of Nutrition, New England Journal of Medicine, Journal of the American Medical Association, The Lancet, as you heard me elaborate on last week about that article that was published in The Lancet. About carbohydrates and mortality. Well, here in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, because remember, this used to be called the American Dietetic Association, but they had since changed their name a few years ago to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. It was very important that the word nutrition was included in their title. So, There's a nice commentary here about people with celiac disease or gluten sensitivity. Hey, are you on medication? Do you know if there's any gluten in your medicine? So, addressing barriers for patients with celiac disease when assessing for gluten in medications. So, you know all about celiac disease, the autoimmune disease where any gluten, subfractions, gliadin, cause damage to the small intestine. Not just the small intestine anymore, among other things, it can impair your neurological system as well. We've seen that happen. So we're having more and more diagnoses of celiac disease. It's not that the number is increasing. It's just that diagnosis of celiac disease has gotten better, right? So, but despite the increased recognition of celiac disease, advances in diagnosis, expansion of gluten-free options, you know, 20, 25 years ago, if you were looking for something gluten-free, it was hard to find if you were looking for a gluten-free bread or some other thing. You had to make an exclusive trip to your to your health food store, get that really heavy sprouted grain product that was in the freezer, bring it home, use a good big serrated and whetted knife to be able to slice through it. But now times have changed. It's very easy to go to your local grocery store and find a whole lot of gluten-free options, gluten-free breads, gluten-free muffins, gluten-free waffles, gluten-free pasta. It's all there. It's far less difficult to be gluten-free today than it was just a few decades ago. So despite the increased recognition of celiac disease, advances in diagnosis, expansion of gluten-free food options, and ongoing research for medications to be used as adjunct therapy, few advances have been made in the ability to identify gluten in medications. Now again, this is in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics in the August 2018 journal. And this is by researchers Peace and Sepp, Georgina Rubel Peace and Caroline Sepp. They are both pharmacologists. Few advances have been made in the ability to identify gluten in medications. A review of the literature shows that the concern about being able to identify gluten in medications for patients with celiac disease was first recognized in 1985. More than 30 years later, a standardized resolution has not been determined. Wow, imagine that, 30 years later. A standardized resolution, they've not reached one. So, quantifying gluten. The FDA has defined the term gluten-free as less than 20 parts per million. That's 20 ppm parts per million. Recent food labeling laws, as of August of 2014, require gluten-free food labels to meet this definition, which only applies to food and dietary supplements. The threshold of 20 parts per million being deemed the maximum amount of gluten permitted to be detectable in gluten-free food has been established in the United States since a goal of 0 ppm would not be easily attained. In addition, studies have demonstrated that the maximum amount of gluten tolerated by patients with celiac disease per day is below 50 milligrams. When patients eat gluten-free products with less than 20 parts per million gluten, 20 ppm gluten, this provides a safety margin for not reaching the threshold of 50 milligrams a day, even when as much as 500 grams, approximately 2,000 calories of food a day, is consumed. This would roughly equate to keeping any gluten exposure to 1% or less in a 2,000 calorie a day diet. So, what are the consequences of the inability to readily determine gluten content of medications? This is a great question. That's why I'm bringing this to you today. There is no FDA-regulated term for gluten-free labeling of medications, and few medications are actually labeled as being gluten-free. I can't tell you over the years, with my patients with celiac disease or gluten sensitivity, but especially those with celiac disease, if they were on a particular medication, how we'd have to go and investigate. What is that starch in that pill that you're having to take? And I'm going to bring you through how all of that is determined. So, few medications are actually labeled as being gluten-free. However, no medications containing gluten should be consumed by patients with celiac disease. Absolutely. Agreed. Many medication side effects can mimic gluten-like reactions in patients with celiac disease. A patient may be more likely to discontinue a medication because of fear that the reaction is due to gluten if the medication has not been confirmed to be gluten-free. Now, according to a case report, a 52-year-old woman with celiac disease was being treated with pain medications. This patient was taking a high dose of oxycodone, up to 360 milligrams daily. When she was switched to methadone, she experienced viral infection-like side effects after 3 weeks of treatment. The methadone was replaced with oxycodone, and the dose was increased to 480 milligrams a day, which led to the resolution of the viral infection-like symptoms. After some time, methadone was prescribed again, and the patient had severe diarrhea. Because the patient was concerned that the methadone contained gluten, she suddenly stopped taking it. Laboratory testing confirmed that gluten was not detectable in the methadone. The authors conclude that a patient with celiac disease may be hypervigilant about the presence of gluten in medications and may discontinue treatment inappropriately because of a belief that gluten is causing the adverse effect. This lack of compliance may lead to adverse outcomes. With better labeling and clearer information, instances such as this should be avoided. Well, I find it very interesting that it was oxycodone, methadone. Wow, more opioid crisis, anyone? Anyway, moving on. Gluten in excipients. Gluten can be found in the inactive components of medications, which are listed on the package insert. Starch and derivatives of starch are the ingredients that may contain gluten. If the source of the starch is declared as corn, rice, potato, or tapioca, it should be gluten-free. When the source of starch is wheat, the medication would be problematic. There are four derivatives of starch: dextrans, dextrose, dextrates, and dextrins. Oh my. Dextrans and dextrose are derived from gluten-free grains. Dextrates and dextrins may come from any starch source, including wheat. Therefore, if a package insert lists starch, dextrate, or dextrin among the inactive ingredients, the source needs to be determined. And what they've done here is they've got a nice little figure, a graph of how to go through this process. And this is the process for pharmacists to verify gluten-free status of medications. And note here, something that could be called likely gluten-free must also consider risk of cross-contamination if medication is prepared on shared equipment with gluten-containing products. That makes sense, right? It's like, you know, if you have an allergy to peanuts and you're buying a package of almonds, you have to check that these were not processed or shelled in the same in a like facility that also shells peanuts, for example. So, say you've got a new prescription medication. The package insert lists starch or derivative, including dextran or dextrin. Say that it does, that your package insert lists starch as a derivative, dextran or dextrin. So, you want to see if that starch source is defined. If that starch source is wheat, it then contains gluten. If that starch source is corn, potato, or tapioca, it's likely gluten-free, but again, that's got to be considered in the context of cross-contamination, as I just said. So, now, if your package insert does not list starch or a derivative including dextran or dextrin, it's unlikely a source of gluten, but you want to consider verifying with the manufacturer. And say that your package insert does list starch or derivative, including dextran or dextrin. Let's say it does. But the starch source is not defined. What you want to do is check a database. And there are two good databases, PillBox and DailyMed. You want to check that for the starch source. Now, PillBox, these are government databases. PillBox, you go to pillbox.nlm.nih.gov. That's pillbox.nlm.nih.gov. And DailyMed@nlm.nih.gov. It's the same for both PillBox and DailyMed.nlm.nih.gov. So if the starch source is not defined on your package insert of your medication, check these databases. Okay? Now, if that starch information is not available, you want to contact the manufacturer to determine if that product is gluten-free or not. And say you contact that manufacturer and they tell you that the information is unavailable. Contact the prescriber. Contact your doctor or practitioner to consider an alternative with a known gluten-free status. And what that may mean in that case is consider a compounding pharmacy if alternatives are unavailable. And I know that Dr. Hoffman has done this on many occasions for celiac patients. He would call a compounding pharmacy if they were on a particular medication for a particular medical condition, right? Because you want to make sure that everything that a celiac patient is taking is absolutely gluten-free. So what is the frequency of gluten medications? In a database search for the term wheat in medication, inactive ingredients using the PillBox databases, 11 records were found. The ingredients clearly stated contains wheat. When the term gluten was searched in the inactive ingredients, you know, like in the excipients, one medication was found. It is known these 11 medications contain gluten, but it's unknown how many medications in the database contain undeclared gluten among the inactive ingredients. Because manufacturers are not required to list the source from which a starch is derived in the ingredient list, it's currently not possible to know how many medications may contain gluten for certain. Now, the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness recently conducted a study to determine the extent that gluten found in medications may pose a concern for patients with celiac disease. The goals of the study were to address the problem of unlabeled gluten in medications and to raise awareness of the potential harm gluten medications could cause. The National Foundation for Celiac Awareness collected data through a survey issued to two groups of individuals, patients with celiac disease and gluten-sensitive individuals without a diagnosis of celiac disease. Surveys were largely distributed electronically to individuals who volunteered to participate. Of the 5,623 participants, only those who indicated that they always follow or usually follow a gluten-free diet were included. Participants who reported an adverse drug event caused by gluten were asked to provide additional information about the medication taken, the reaction, and what actions were taken. These results allowed a list of medications to be created for further testing. 39 drugs were identified for testing. 15 were over-the-counter, and 24 were prescription medications. Identified medications were tested using both the sandwich enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay and the competitive enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay to determine gluten context. These are the methods that were used. Three drugs tested above the limit of quantitation of 10 parts per million on the competitive enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay. So three drugs tested above the limit of 10 parts per million. The authors concluded that the findings of this study have broader implications than the quantity of gluten in medications. Although finding gluten in medications does not seem to be common, members of the healthcare community, including manufacturers, suppliers, they need to work together to lobby for clearer labeling to provide the most accurate information to patients. FDA-mandated labeling requirements would clarify the current ambiguity so that patients could know for certain whether gluten is present in a medication or not. So, considerable advances have been made in understanding and diagnosing celiac disease. We know this. Safe thresholds for gluten-free labeling food products have been developed by the FDA. But explicit assessment for gluten in medications is a clinical necessity to prevent immediate and long-term adverse reactions for patients with celiac disease and who may require medication that contains gluten. Patients may be less compliant with their medications if they have not been verified as gluten-free. Hey, when you've got celiac disease and your symptoms are apparent, they are overt, they are uncomfortable, they are painful, you're going to be hypervigilant. That's a good thing. Clearer labeling is important to prevent long-term increased risk of gastrointestinal cancers caused by gluten exposure, improve compliance, and prevent adverse reactions to gluten in medications. So, pardon me, until the FDA mandates a standardized approach to deem a medication gluten-free, awareness by registered dietitian, nutritionists, and pharmacists regarding the risks of gluten in medications to patients with celiac disease and an understanding of the various methods of determining the gluten status of medications are of the utmost importance. I want to reiterate those two medicine databases to you again in case you're interested. It's pillbox.nlm.nih.gov and dailymed.nlm.nih.gov. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country.
please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.